WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. We're going to continue our look at different professions within the entertainment community. Today, I'm joined by Fredo Aguilar. Fredo is a freelance stage manager who most recently worked with the Oakton Performing Arts Center. He has also worked at Actors Training Center, Skokie Theater, Provision Theater, Polarity Theater Ensemble, Northwestern University Opera, Next Theater, and Johnny Stacks Productions. He's a member of the Stage Managers Association and is co-founder of Stage Managers of Color Chicago. Fredo, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Ricky. And I will say good morning to everyone out there. And I will especially thank you, Ricky, for making this a radio interview and not a Zoom or face interview, because I did not put on my face for you this morning.
Very good. Well, your voice sounds just perfect, so we'll get along fine.
Thank you.
Now, our listeners range from theater professionals to people with an interest in entertainment but no background in the industry. Can you give our audience an idea of what a stage manager does in a theatrical production?
Ricky, it might be easier to go through the list of what a stage manager doesn't do. However, I think the main thing that we should discuss in a good, solid, proper stage manager is communication. The stage manager is going to be your primary source of communication, going from pre-production all the way through those productions that do a post-mortem, as your primary contact between, well, let's go through the list.
Yes.
Between the director, the actors, the production management, the technicians, the technical director, the carpenters, basically the main communication link between all these groups. Why? Because your typical stage manager will produce on a nightly basis for any production a rehearsal report. And that rehearsal report is what will be the communication line that goes out from the director to all of those different departments on a nightly basis, from pre-production all the way through when the show opens, because the stage manager will then take over and most likely be calling the show and making sure that the show retains its artistic integrity. That's right, the artistic integrity that the director put there. The director is meant to create the show, the look of the show, and the stage manager is meant to maintain the look of that show during the entire run and the entire performance. We are very often referred to as the strong point in the production, because we are the always there but never seen portion of every production. Thanks to people like Amanda Spooner and Year of the Stage Managers, these stage managers are coming out of the shadows for the year to say, hi, we're stage managers, we're here, we help to run your shows, it's time you recognize that. So in and of Beyond All Else, you'll find that in any production, one of the first questions that should always be asked is, who's the stage manager? Have you hired the stage manager? When is the stage manager coming on? Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. Now, you mentioned has the stage manager been hired? Who does the actual hiring of the stage manager?
Well, Ricky, that's another great question. I might go with another list of who doesn't do that. No, so there's a lot of questions going on in and amongst the community right now of who hires stage managers. Is it the responsibility of the production manager? Is it the responsibility of the company manager? Is there a hiring person on within the company itself? Does the director want to hire the stage manager? Does the director already have a stage manager or stage manager team that they are familiar with, that they work with all the time, that they want to bring into your company? So there's really a lot of questions as to who hires a stage manager. Therein lies the rub as well, because some of your companies out there, the larger companies, will hire a stage manager and stage manager team, and if that stage manager is lucky, they will put that place on lockdown for themselves, and they will own that theater and be able to do productions out of that theater, whatever productions they want, bring in their own team, things of that nature. However, that then gets into the systematic problem that we have within theater, surprise, itself, is that once you put yourself in a position, that locks out a whole host of other people who could be in that position.
Right, right.
Or who might have a shot at that position, or who have never had a shot at that position and will never get a shot at that position because you got that place on lockdown. So when it comes to who hires the stage manager, it's really a tough question as well. It really is dependent on the location, the budget, the size of the theater. Is it an equity house? Is it a non-equity house? Is it collegiate? Is it storefront? Is it community theater?
Right, right.
So to answer your question, Ricky, who does hire the stage manager?
Very, very good question. I don't know. Yeah. Why did you personally go into stage management?
Oh, gee. Okay. Well, to get into that, you're going to have to go through the whole history of Fredo.
Okay. History of Fredo 101.
Short version is the mom is living her best life now in the retired nation of Arizona, flipping it from red to blue, but we'll get into that later on as well. She started off as a high school English teacher in Concord, Massachusetts. There, she learned, they basically got her to start directing. And when she directed shows, she found out that she needed children for her shows. And she was like, you know what? Screw it. I got one of my own. I'll put him in the show. So that was me. She stuck me in her shows at about the age of six, where my first show was Androcles and the Lion. I got to play a child Christian being fed to the lions, which was what got me into the business. From that point on, I started doing more acting, blah, blah, blah. And I was an actor at one point, as a lot of technicians were in their, you know, in their dirty theater past. But I very quickly said, if I'm going to be on this stage, I'm going to learn how to build the sets. I'm going to learn how to do lighting. I'm going to learn how to do everything involved with it. So that way I look awesome on the stage. Fast forward to me realizing that one of the few ways that a person in this business can continue to work in this business is if they start getting the jobs that are sought after the most. And one of those jobs is stage management. Because if you are a good stage manager, you will be sought after, you will be looked for, and you will be able to control the way you work with your career. The thing that I did particularly for myself was, not only did I want to become a good stage manager, but I wanted to be involved in every aspect of this business. So I didn't just stick to stage management. I got a background in carpentry. I have a background in electrics. I can run sound cable and run and set up sound. I have run spotlights, and I have run fly rails. I do all the technical stuff as well as be a stage manager, because all of that stuff makes me a better stage manager in the long run. I don't like being in theater unless I'm doing as much as I can.
Right.
And in order to do the most amount of stuff that you can, you have to have a position that is involved in as many aspects of a production as you can. Stage management is at the top because they are relied on the most for communication.
Now, what is your favorite duty as a stage manager?
Maintaining the artistic integrity and quality to the show that the director leads you with.
Okay.
As a stage manager, you take them through the whole rehearsal process, everything. You get to opening night, the director is there. Show happens, musical, straight show, opera, you know, drag shows, all of those things. They all have their directors. They all open up the show. If the director is happy and is copacetic, usually the director will leave. And that means that once that director leaves, there's one person in charge to make sure that the show stays the same from opening night to closing night.
Exactly.
That is the stage manager's responsibility. Whether you need to talk to the music director about, you know, something happening on stage musically, or you need to talk to your dance captain about making sure that some, you know, big opening number is keeping the time or something of that nature. You are the one responsible to make sure that the show that the director left you with is the show that the director comes back to on closing night.
And I find that that is actually far rarer to find than you would think. I see a lot of shows where the stage manager doesn't maintain that integrity, and the director comes back and says, "What's this on stage?" Have you witnessed that yourself?
Sure, but you got to remember that in between the time the director leaves to the time that the director arrives, there's a whole host of problems that can pop up. Anything from an actor getting injured on stage, which I've had happen, to an artistic director coming in and saying he doesn't like an aspect to a show and wants to change it, which I've also had happen. Each fight has its own levels. Each issue has its direct person and responsibility. So let's say an actor goes down on stage because of something that happened. First off, what level are you at in the theater? Is it an equity level? Because if it's an equity thing, then there's a whole host of other things that come about with it. If it's a non-equity entity, which is what I'm primarily responsible for, because as a freelance stage manager here in Chicago, I am non-equity. So if something happens on my stage, for example, if something happens at Oakland Community College on the stage there, I am primarily responsible for what happens on that stage. But I'm not going through equity because I don't have to. I'm going through the Oakton Community College system of resolution.
Now, you attended Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. What did you earn your BFA degree in?
So my technical degree from the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts is in fine and performing arts with a concentration in theater and arts management.
And did your education properly prepare you for your career?
So, it's a small liberal arts college, which is thriving in northwestern Massachusetts. And I absolutely would love for young theater majors to go there because it gives you a starting opportunity. The thing that it does give you is it gives you a concentrated theater opportunity. So you go there and you're going to learn from some of the best teachers that are around in the northwestern area, but you also have theater companies up there like Old Castle Theater Company, Bennington Theater Company. There's Williamstown Theater Festival, which of course is going through its own issues right now, but that's a whole nother episode that you and I have to talk about, Ricky. There are opportunities up there that are available to those who want to put in the effort. And I think more importantly than the education that I got at MCLA was what it prepared me for. And that was the preparation to go out into the world and to really push myself to do what I wanted to do in this business. So there wasn't necessarily a stage management concentration at MCLA, but what there was a chance to create my own focus, which gave me the chance to stage manage productions there and do things of that nature. Now there are a lot more opportunities at educational institutions that provide stage management education. However, there's a whole nother episode that you and I could do, Ricky, on whether or not a stage manager needs a collegiate background or firsthand experience is more.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today I'm being joined by Fredo Aguilar, a professional freelance stage manager. Now, Fredo, what are some of the things that you learned on the job that you didn't learn in school?
What to do when the lights go out during the middle of a production?
That brings us to our next question. Every theater person I know has a treasure trove of stories of something that went wrong on stage. In my case, it was breaking my toe on stage in the middle of Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. I imagine you have a plethora of stories of things going awry. Can you share some with us?
I mean, what do you want? Do you want the ones that involve children? Do you want the ones that involve buildings? Do you want the ones that involve production? listen, I'm going to give you one of my favorite stories that I have, okay? And it was when I was a touring actor-director with Missoula Children's Theater. And I was on tour with them, and we were in a Michigan town in the Upper Peninsulas. It was in the Uber territory, if any of you know what that is. I didn't find out until I got there what a Uber was. But in this small town where this company was one of the only companies to get there, we got there, and the whole purpose for us was to go there, and we were doing Treasure Island at the time. And when we did this production, we went to these locations, we auditioned the children that day, cast them that day, and then spent the week teaching them the shows, teaching them the dances, teaching them the songs, putting them in costumes, doing all of this. So that way, by the end of the week, Friday, Saturday, we were putting the productions on for the teachers and community of the town that we were in. At the beginning of the week, we chose this student to be the character of Jim, the child in the show. Main character, has all of the lines, is the main kid of the show. We cast him in the show. And right afterwards, I had parents and a couple of teachers coming up to him saying, hey, listen, we thank you for wanting to cast him. You might want to reconsider. He's a good kid, but he has this issue and that issue and blah. And you're taught by the company to say, okay, thank you.
Right.
And I hear you. Thank you. So we continue on for the rehearsal process. Everything's fine. Typical situations. No issues. We get to the end of the week. Put on the production. The child, of course, stumbles. But the great thing about Missoula is they teach you how to be next to these, you know, to the child, feeding them lines as part of the show, seamless integration. Show finishes, end of show. Those same parents came up to us, crying their eyes out, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've never seen him go from school to home, to doing his homework without a question, to then going directly into learning his lines and concentrating on that. Wow. With no prompts. You can't replace a story like that.
Yeah, that's great.
You can't replace an experience like that. I don't remember that whenever I think about working with children again.
Right, very good. Now, as a stage manager, you've had the opportunity to work with a diverse number of theatrical directors. From a stage manager's perspective, what makes a good director?
Wow. Communication, again. There is, well, I just finished working with him. Tim Curtis, who is the director of, I'm going to shamelessly plug for you right now, Ricky, who is the director of The Living with Oakton Community College, which is actually opening tonight, November 13th at 8 p.m., but it will actually be on Vimeo, and you can get tickets at oakton.edu/tickets for $5, and it'll send you the link and everything like that.
Okay? Fantastic.
Tim Curtis and I, this is our third show that we've done together at Oakton Community College. He was the first show that I did, The Foreigner, at Oakton Community College. Some, what is it, 6 shows-ish ago now. And I, when we started together, we had to figure out our communication style. Our communication style is there now to the point where we could do this brand new show together because we trust each other in our communication back and forth. So if he's telling, you know, at the beginning of our productions, I'm able to tell him things that I'll expect coming up, issues that we may have. The thing that I've learned about him is his directing style. I know how he works. I understand his process. So I can effectively communicate during our rehearsal process with him about how he needs to proceed in his rehearsal process. And now he'll listen to me where he'll, you know, if I have something to tell him or have something to deal with in terms of production, he'll actually listen to me now. And if I actually tell him no, he'll say, oh, okay. A lot of directors will hear the word no, but they won't hear the word no.
Right, right.
Again, any stage manager, director, duo will always rely on effective communication. Come on. How many times do I have to say this, Ricky? How many times do I have to communicate that communication is what's most important? If you can't call your director and say, hey, how you doing, and talk about things, or if there's a wall that occurs and you can't support each other, then your nucleus of the production, your director and stage manager, are already having issues.
Now, as a freelance stage manager, you're free to accept offers from any number of theaters. Do you prefer this flexibility over holding a permanent staff position?
Yes and no. No, because who doesn't want a home?
Right.
Who doesn't want to know and establish and have a working relationship and be able to do things like that? Now, on the other hand, I kind of do have that with Oakton Community College. And I'm sorry, but it's actually the Oakton Performing Arts Center. The specific division of Oakton Community College is the Oakton Performing Arts Center. And because of the work that I've done with OPAC, you know, from The Foreigner to now doing The Living, I have done enough shows with them where they will actually come to me and say, hey, here's what we're considering for this season. And do you want to do any of these? And one of the first things I say is, who's directing? Because if I see any one of the names that I've worked with before at Oakland Community College, that I'm jumping at that opportunity. If it's a new director or they want me to work with a new director, then I might have to be a little more wary about it, ask some questions. Or if I know the production team that is coming on, because again, being there a couple of times, I know who the lighting designer will be. That's Matt Coy, one of their teachers and predominant master electrician and lighting designer there. So I know he's going to be there. Dan Cunningham, the production manager, he's been there for years now. So I know he'll be there. But they've all worked with me on shows enough times now where I know the work that they do. I know the level of the production. And I know that I will be given the stuff that I need,
mm-hmm,
without question, because of the work that I've done there.
Now, really briefly, we're running out of time, but you're also a member of the Stage Managers Association and a founding member of Stage Managers of Color Chicago. What are the benefits of being a member of these associations?
So in terms of the Stage Managers of Color Chicago, I, along with my co-founders, Jackie Saldana and Caitlin Boddy, created that group because we could not, when we came to Chicago, could not find an organization of predominant stage managers who were people of color to even begin to discuss things with. And again, before we go into the whole systematic issues in theater and that for the BIPOC and or LGBT plus community, that's a whole nother interview that we have to do, Ricky.
Yes.
The three of us were in a Zoom meeting together because it was one of the first times where I had actually had the opportunity to discuss working as a stage manager in Chicago with two other stage managers of color. And the unfortunate thing is that we realized that the first time that the three of us were together in a Zoom by ourselves with no other white people, that was the first time that we had actually ever been in a room of all stage managers who were people of color with no white stage managers involved.
And Fredo, we're going to have to cut our interview off at this point, but I do want to have you back on to discuss these wonderful associations further. And you're just a treasure trove of information. You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, we've been exploring the world of stage management in Chicago theater. My guest has been freelance stage manager Fredo Aguilar. And Fredo, I really appreciate you being on the program. I hope that you will come back on for some further discussions in the future. And we wish you the absolute best with your career as a freelance stage manager in Chicago theater.
Thank you so much for everything that you do to give voices to those in our theater community who are on the less heard side of things.
Fantastic.
So thank you for everything that you do with Huntley Radio, with this production, and with this group. So thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.